if we could just take a moment and just consecrate ourselves, our mind and our heart, and turn it towards Him. Let's go after Him this morning with everything that we have and not leave nothing behind. Lord, we're going to pursue You in Jesus' name, Lord, that You are for us. You are not against us, Lord. You're not surprised by anything in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, we desire for You to saturate this place with Your presence. We desire for Your will to be done in this place, Lord. May You work in this place, Lord. You're a God that is perfect in all Your ways, Lord, but yet You choose to work with our imperfections, Lord. You're in our imperfections, Lord. You work through imperfect people, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. We ask, Lord, to have Your way in this place, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. May our lives give You glory and give You praise in this place, in Jesus' name, the name that is above all names. We're going to give You glory in this place. Hallelujah, Lord, for You to be praised. Let's give God a hand clap of praise.
Personal destiny, grace and mercy follow me, and I know I'm an overcomer. I will always give the praise to the one who forever reigns, and Him I triumph every day. So I victorious.
Yes, I am.
I am victorious. I am victorious.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
I'm a person of destiny. Grace and mercy follow me. And I know I'm an overcomer. I will always give the praise to the one who forever reigns. I triumph every day. So every battle has been won. So I've already overcome. And I will lift my voice and say, cause praise precedes our victory. I am victorious.
I am
victorious. I am victorious.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
I am victorious. I am victorious.
Yes, I am.
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 Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yes, Lord. Praise You. Living the best life. Living the best. Living the best life, living the best life. I am victorious. Living the best life, living the best life. I am victorious. Cause every battle has been won. So I've already overcome. And I will lift my voice and say, cause praise precedes the victory. Victory. I am victorious.
victorious. I am victorious. I am victorious.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
I am victorious. I am victorious. I am victorious.
Sometimes we look around and we're like, well, are we really winning? You know, you see different decisions that are made and choices that are made. And obviously there's been news throughout the week and that sort of thing on different decisions that were made. But you know what? And you can get down. Sometimes it's hard to understand why things are the way they are. But then you think and you look through the different scriptures and the word that, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper, not to harm you. Yes. Also, fear thou not, for I am thy God. Be not dismayed, for I am with thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'm for you. I'm not against you.
Yes.
And these are encouraging words, because so when you look back, some things that look so bad, you look back and you see the hand of God was actually there the whole time.
Yes, yes.
And that's encouraging to me. So in the end, God is the victor. And if you're following in his will, you are the victor too.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for that.
For us, heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the of your greatness, in your name I will bow down, in your presence fear is silent, for you wear the victor's crown. Let your glory fill this temple, let your power overflow, by your grace I live and breathe to worship. Victor's crown. You are Jesus the Messiah. You're the hope for all the world. By your grace I live and breathe to worship.
You have overcome the world.
overcome, you overcome. Finished. You were buried in the ground, but the grave could not contain you, for you wear the victor's crown.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah. You have
worth saving,
so you
came.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping.
So you cleaned me up.
So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know.
Feel led to say this. If you feel broken and you in here and you feel broken, you don't know what else to do, God can use that. He could do something with brokenness. And I felt so strongly as we were singing that last song that if you're on the surface and you act like everything is okay and you walked in here like everything was okay and it's not, God is about ready to do something. He can do something with your life today in Jesus' name. We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time. Brother Mike, will you pray for the offering? Amen.
Covering
bearing our shame. He has overcome, yes, he has overcome. He will not be shaken, he will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me. Christ revealed, and I am healed in Jesus' name. Carrying our burdens, covering our shame, he has overcome, yes, he has overcome. He will not be shaken, he will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. I will live, I will not die. I will declare and live too high. Christ revealed, and I am healed in Jesus' name.
Bible tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against power, principalities, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I believe that when we pray in the Spirit, this is what I believe. I believe the Bible says the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I believe that when we pray in the Spirit, we are praying against powers and principalities. And that God is literally fighting for us. Hallelujah. If I could somehow, some way see into the spirit realm and see what is happening as I walk, as a blood-bought child of God, as I make my way through this life, and I see the things, if I could see in the spirit, the things that the enemy tries to trip me up with, fiery darts, all the things that it throws my way. And then I could also see the angels of the Lord as they encamp around about me and they protect me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So much so that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm so assured, I'm so confident in the protection of my Savior that I can sit down and enjoy a meal right in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Oh, why don't you lift your hands? Why don't you lift your voice and praise unto Jesus? Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. How wonderful it is to know Him and to serve Him. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. You may be seated. I'll get out in a second. So good to have you here, First Apostolic Church. Donna and Shane, so good to have you in service with us this morning. God bless you for being here. Linda Louie and her son Jackson, which is downstairs, thank you for coming and visiting here this morning. God bless you for being in service with us. All the regulars, God bless you for being here too. We serve a wonderful God. A wonderful God. Who it's still a mystery to me. I don't understand it. I try to somehow wrap my brain around it. I have faith that says His love is really beyond my comprehension. Because somehow, some way, amidst all my mess and mistakes, faults and failures, He still looked down in love. Thought I was worth saving. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so appreciative of the grace and mercy of God this morning. I'm so thankful that I have opportunity to stand in His presence and lift my hands and lift my voice and thank Him for His unmerited favor, His grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles and you would stand and turn in them with me. Young people, you may make your way upstairs, youth class. First Peter chapter number 1, two verses of scripture there, verses 18 and 19, and then I'll have you go back to Ephesians chapter number 5. Verses 25 through 27. Ephesians is, in this particular passage that we'll read from in just a moment, is a verse of scripture that I have been quoting from quite a bit of late. Much of that has to do with our subject matter that we have been teaching on Wednesday nights. If you are interested in being in a congregation-created curriculum where there's a box at the back, and I realize we had to get some more question cards in there. If you have a question and you would like for that question to be discussed and have a Bible study in reference to that question, we give you the opportunity to do that. Just fill out the question card. You can even do it anonymously. You don't have to put your name on it and drop it in the box. And on Wednesday nights, we have been taking those questions and we've been studying them. And I don't know about you, but it's been good because it's caused me to have to not that I don't dig normally, but it caused me because I realized that some of the questions that come from some longtime saints are questions that are going to have to be really be dug out and looked through and researched. And so I welcome the challenge, and I hope that you are benefiting from those studies during our midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. And God bless you for participating therein. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And reading in verse number 18. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious, everybody say precious, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Ephesians chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 25. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself. You ever thought about that wording? That he might present it to himself. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You allow me to paraphrase somewhat two passages of Scripture we have just read. Apostle Peter identifies, as do others in the Bible, that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is without spot and he is without blemish. And this Jesus, this man, Christ Jesus, that gave himself for the church, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it may be holy and without blemish. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject: without spot or blemish. Without spot or blemish. Now, before we get into it, I realize that I stand before people who, like myself, we are made up of mistakes. We have failures. We have inadequacies. We have inferiorities. We have little things about us that nobody knows but us. And the reality is we all have spot and blemish. We all, like sheep, the Bible says, have gone astray, every man unto his own way. There is none righteous, no, not one. But I thank God that there was one who, without spot or without blemish, made it possible for you and I to stand before him in pure conscience and understanding that I have a propitiation or a substitute for my spots and for my blemish. I have one who is without spot and without blemish. Can we lift our hands for just a few moments? Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you for what you did to purchase my salvation. Thank you. And while I could never come before an almighty holy God without spot or blemish, but by you and through you, you the Lamb without spot and without blemish, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. If you were to do a little reading and study in the 22nd chapter of the book of Leviticus, you would find that the law stated that a sacrifice brought to God, in order for that sacrifice to be acceptable, it had to be without spot or blemish. It was the responsibility of the priesthood, the sons of Aaron, as you read in Leviticus chapter 22, to inspect those animals that were brought for sacrifice. And the priesthood was, at that inspection, they were to determine whether or not that sacrifice was acceptable. They were to point out if there were spots or blemishes, if there was something in the makeup of that animal that
made it so that it was not acceptable to be giving as a sacrifice unto God. However, over time, this process of inspection became corrupt, and it materialized into a money-making scheme that padded the pockets of the priesthood. Those that were supposed to be maintaining the integrity of the system scandalized the system itself. It is no wonder why Jesus became enraged as he watched what took place in the temple. It is no wonder why the Bible says that he sat there and he made a band of small cords. For what was supposed to be a process promoting piety and sacrifice and giving was now rife with pride and selfishness and greed. We can only imagine what kind of emotions were in the man Christ Jesus, what he dealt with as he watched the head of the family bring his sacrifice, which he had painfully selected and spent time caring for and made connections with the animal, only to have the profiteering priest tell him that his sacrifice was not acceptable and he would have to purchase an upgrade in order to meet the acceptable conditions. And then afterward, that unaccepted sacrifice was then sold to someone else as an acceptable upgrade. The process should have been foreshadowing the coming Messiah, the spotless Lamb of God. But it had become another of mankind's messes, so spotted and blemished that the Bible says that Jesus, in what seems to be an uncharacteristic act, he makes a band of small cords and he goes into the temple, and the Bible says that he turns over the tables and cast out the money changers and them that sold doves. And he says in bold proclamation, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves." See, Jesus, the Lamb without spot or blemish, and also, as Hebrews chapter 6 and 7 explain to us, the high priest. He was both the spotless and the unblemished, the perfect sacrifice, the Holy One, the Lamb of God, and he was also the high priest. That's why the Bible says that he might present it to himself as the high priest. So think of it in this manner: the unspotted, blemished, perfect Lamb and the high priest, which made the inspection, sees this happening. He sees what's going on. He walks into a temple reeking of rancid corruption and abject sin, and his zeal would not allow him to do anything but reject what was taking place. Because he was the spotless Lamb, because he was the unblemished sacrifice, and he was the high priest to make the inspection, and he could not handle what was taking place in the temple. The Bible says that when the disciples saw this Jesus, who was normally a very meek and mild man, when they saw him in what seemed to be an uncharacteristic act as he goes into the temple and he drives out the money changers and he turns over the tables, the Bible says that that moment they remembered the scripture, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Jesus, the spotless Lamb, the unblemished sacrifice, the high priest forever, the Bible says, after the order of Melchizedek. This Jesus, this spotless Lamb without spot or blemish, sees the process that was supposed to be pointing to him so perverted and so corrupt. So he cast them out. He tells them what was supposed to be the process of prayer, piety, humility, "You've made it a den of thieves." Symbolically, you've taken a church, You've taken a place that is supposed to be holy, and you've made it into a brothel. You've made it into a place where things are sold and sin is prevalent. You've taken what is holy and what is meant to be righteous and what is meant to point to me as the spotless, unblemished lamb, and you have so stained it with sin. Might I say this? Mankind was doing what mankind has done since that dastardly deed in the Garden of Eden. Mankind was doing what we've always done when left to our own devices. Mankind was showing more spots and revealing more blemishes. You see, the bride-to-be was supposed to be making herself ready, but instead, she was making things worse as she spiritually sold herself in sin. Understand that we were created. Humanity was created to be the bride of Christ. Humanity was created to have communion, to co-rule and be co-heirs with Jesus. And humanity had become so spotted and so blemished. Humanity has become, as the Bible would refer and make parallel, humanity had become a harlot. I know we say things of that nature when we talk in that light. It reveals. It reveals our humanity. It reveals our carnality. It reveals who we are all on our own. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. You see, we need to understand. We, without God, continually make ourselves more spotted, more bruised, more blemished. Without God, we always make it worse. I'm going to say that again. Without God, we always make it worse. Like the stain you attempt to wipe away or clean, but it only spreads. It only makes more of a mess. We keep making more of a mess. You see, without turning to God, there is only more spotting. There's only more staining. There's only more blemishing. There's only more bad that takes place. Catch it. The more society strays from God, the messier it gets. You can't go away from the only one who is good and expect things to get better. I'm going to say that again. You cannot stray and go away from the only one who is good and expect that things are somehow, some way going to get better. Unfortunately, the reality is that so many are enticed into the arms of this world. There they are battered, they are broken, and they are bruised. Even while they are experiencing more spots and more blemishes, even after they, as a society as a whole, are continually selling themselves more and more into sin and destruction, a loving God awaits, wanting them to turn to Him. Wanting them to realize, keep on going like you're going and it's only more spots. Keep doing what you're doing and it's only more blemishes. You're only making things worse. You see, my heart is often heavy in realization of just how broken and bruised this world is. Stained dark with spot and blemish from sin. I know that many of them don't see themselves that way. Many of them think that they're okay. Many of them don't understand the spiritual mess that they are in. Many of them, they just go on through life not really understanding that the life that they lead is just adding more spots and more blemishes, more deformities, more baggage, more emotional mess, more stuff in their life. They don't realize, they don't understand, many of them, that what they do is only perpetuating a process that began a long time ago, and that mankind is inherently evil. There is none good, no, not one. When it comes to us and our own, and I'm sorry, I hope I don't offend you, but the statement that mankind is inherently good, I'm sorry, but the scriptures would reveal different. The scriptures would reveal that left to our own devices and without moral guidance and without principle and precept that comes from Almighty God, we are self-destructive. But do not despair. There is hope. Do not despair. There is hope. No matter how set in it seems the stain of sin is, no matter how bad the blemish might seem to be, no matter how broken and bruised one might be, no matter how much baggage they seem to bring along, we need to understand that there is a precious blood that washes white as snow. There is no spot and blemish remover like the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Isaiah, that great prophet, said in a messianic prophecy concerning Jesus, "Oh, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I'm glad that I can stand before a people this morning and boldly declare from the pulpit, it doesn't matter how dark the spot, it doesn't matter how bad the blemish, there is a God who is greater, and His precious blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. See, some might be here this morning and they might say in themselves, "Well, you don't know where I've been or what I've done. I'm dirty, I'm guilty, I'm stained with sin. In my heart of hearts, I know that I could never be clean again. But let me assure you and let me show you according to the Word of God. The Bible tells you, even if our heart condemns us, there is a God who is greater than our heart. There is a God who says, your mess is not too messy. Your dirt is not too dirty." Whew. I'm glad I've come to know that my dirt will not blemish an unspotted, unblemished God. I'm glad to know that God doesn't look at me and say, "Well, you're too dirty and you're too stained. I guess I'm just going to have to discard you. I guess I'm just going to have to throw you away. No, I can never clean that up. I can't make that right." Oh, no, no. He looks down and sees us through the blood of Jesus and says, "Oh, there is a way." See, His blood can clean you. It doesn't matter how stained with sin, it doesn't matter how big and bad the blemishes may be, you need to know that His blood can clean you. His blood can wash you. His blood can take out the darkest stain of sin. His blood can blot out the biggest blemish in your life. It doesn't matter. I'm sorry. You need to stop giving credence and credibility to something that God already told us. I can clean that up. I can make that right. Revelation. Chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. I draw your attention back to the passage we read at the beginning of the message. Ephesians 5 verse 26 says, he gave 25 rather, that he gave himself for the church. 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the word. Catches that he might present it to himself. No matter how dirty, no matter how messed up, doesn't matter how big the blemish, doesn't matter how dark the stain of sin, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. How? How does this happen? How? We, who the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. I could tell you the exact meaning. It would make you blush. I could tell you what that verse of Scripture actually means, but it ain't pretty. And though our righteousness is as but filthy rags, guess what? Something that can wash me. There's something that can make me clean and white as snow. How? 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, he became bruised to heal our bruises. He became stained so that our sin, my sin, your sin, could be washed away. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He who was unspotted and unblemished, the perfect sacrifice, the one the Bible says that is sufficient to ever make intercession for us, the one, that man Jesus Christ came one time, the Bible says, into the holiest as an unspotted and blemished sacrifice, and he bore our griefs and our sorrows. He took upon himself our sins. He was bruised for us. He didn't deserve anything that he got, but he willingly took it upon himself for you and for me. As a lamb led to the slaughter, opened he not his mouth. Even as they lied against him and ridiculed and mocked him, he never even made a defense. Well, Pilate say, he looked at Jesus after he had been beaten and scourged, presented him to the crowd of people and said, "Behold the man." Man who had never, ever sinned. A man who had never, ever erred. A man who made no mistake and was perfect. This man beaten for us. This man crucified for you and for me. And he took our transgressions, and the Bible says he nailed them to the tree. He might present you and me a glorious church to himself without spot. We couldn't clean ourselves up. We couldn't make ourselves any better. We couldn't get rid of any of the spots or the blemishes. We just made more of a mess. But there is one who came, the unspotted, unblemished Lamb of God. There is one who came and said, I realize you can't clean yourself up. I realize you can't do anything but make more of a mess. But I'm here to help you. I'm here to save you. I'm here to redeem you and to reconcile you unto God, a holy, perfect God. He will not accept a spotted or blemished sacrifice. So I have come to be the propitiation. If any man sins, he has an advocate with the Father, the man Christ Jesus. There is one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. So, with great gratitude, I am able to stand before you this morning and say, you can stand before God without spot and without blemish. Not on your own. Not based upon your own conscience. Not based upon your own heart. Not based upon even your own knowledge. But you can stand before God. You can come boldly into His throne room in time of need. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the righteous, the Holy One, Jesus Christ, the One without spot or blemish, took your blemishes on Himself and took your spots upon Himself. And now you can, with full assurance, the Bible says, having your heart sprinkled with a good conscience, you can come before Almighty God without spot and without blemish. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Hebrews tells us that without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It's no wonder why Peter, when preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when they looked at what was going on, they looked at Peter and the rest disciples and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, catch it, for the remission of your sins. Sorry. Don't mean to offend you, but baptism is not just an outward expression of an inward work of faith. Can't find that in the Bible. What you can find is that if we are buried with Him in baptism, and when someone goes down in the name of Jesus, it's as if they are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Someone goes under the water and the name of Jesus Christ is said over them in baptism. That name remits them of all of their sin. And it's as if the blood of Jesus Christ washes over me. For Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. What is it about Christ that cleans you? What is it about Christ that washes me white as snow? It's His precious blood of a lamb without spot or blemish. So if you're here this morning and you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm sorry, but I don't see anything else in Scripture that indicates there is any other way of removing spot or blemish. I don't see any other way in the Word of God for someone to be able to come before Almighty God clean, removed from them spots and blemishes. There's only one way that I see in the Bible for someone, and that's when they're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. There's an old song of the church. Its lyrics go something like this: Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you're here this morning and you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, I adjure you, by the Holy Scriptures, you need to be washed and made clean. All spot and stain of sin removed. And here's the beautiful thing. When we're washed, it affects past, present, and future. How do I know? Once I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, now, if I come and confess, come and confess the sin, confess the wrong, then I'm washed, I'm cleansed. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How does He cleanse? The blood is still at work. I know naturally, in a natural sense, the blood that fell from the brow of Jesus, it went and soaked into the ground. And I know in a natural sense that that blood is dissipated. But in a spiritual sense, He came before the almighty presence of God and He sprinkled the blood. And the veil in the temple was ripped. And now you and I, through the blood of Jesus Christ, can come before Almighty God, washed and cleaned in the blood of the Lamb. These altars are open. If you've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb, I encourage you, let's talk. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool through the blood of Jesus Christ. He stands waiting for those who are continually spotting themselves and continue allowing more and more blemish to come upon their lives. He stands saying, oh, come unto me. Turn unto me. I will help you. I will wash you clean in the blood of the Lamb. I will present you to myself, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that you be holy and without blemish. If you've been washed in that blood, why don't you lift your hands and begin to thank God?
Shameful sin.
Thank you for the sacrifice.
Based on Him, the hope of every man. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me.
Flows in a spiritual sense. It still flows. It's still there to make intercession. It's still there. The Passover in Egypt was a foreshadowing of the Lamb of God. And if they had not taken the blood and applied it upon the lintel and the doorpost of the house, then the angel of death would have come and taken the firstborn. All I'm trying to say is that the blood has to be applied. The blood must be applied, and we apply it in baptism.
The great I am, who takes away my sin.
If you're here this morning and you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, we have water. We have a baptismal. We have robes. We can take you down in the precious name of Jesus. And His blood will wash over you and cleanse you of all your sin.
What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory.
Bible tells us we are made overcomers by the blood and the word of our testimony.
Oh, what love, no greater love. Grace, how can it be that in my sin, yes, even there, He shed.
Flow that may.
writer of Hebrews referencing process of the old covenant in difference to the new covenant. He says, Hebrews 10:11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness for us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Oh, thank God for the blood. Oh, thank God for the blood. Oh, one more time, can we lift our hands? Can we lift our voice? Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you. The sufficient sacrifice of yourself.
We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah.
There's a song that the church, the body of believers, the saints that are blood bought, there's a song that on the other side we're going to sing. And they sang a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of every tongue, kindred, people, and nation. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more time. Can you clap your hands? Can you lift your voice? Oh, thank God for the blood. Oh, thank God for the blood. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.